All right, let's open our Bibles to the reading of God's Word today from the book of Psalms, Psalm 118. So I'm going to read this, and please follow along. Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surround me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They surrounded me but on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is good. He has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Thank God for his word. So we're going to do something a little different today. Ruth and I prepared kind of a joint message. So she did 99%, I did 1%. So I'm first going to give just a short overview of the passage, and then Ruth is going to give the main meat, actual message. So for Thanksgiving, Ruth chose Psalm 118, which is one of the deepest and most meaningful psalms in the Bible. So I suggested she do Psalm 100, just five verses, but she insisted, Psalm 118. I was like, okay. I can't argue with my wife, so. The book of Psalms, we might say, is like the Jewish hymn book. Right? Psalms 115 through 118, actually these five psalms here, are called the Hallel Psalms, right? Hallel meaning like hallelujah or praise. And these songs were sung at the various Jewish festivals. And Psalm 19 was like the climax of these, and it was sung at the Passover, which means it was almost certainly sung by Jesus and his disciples at the end of the Lord's Supper, as it says in Mark 14:26. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So the hymn they sung was probably this Psalm 118. So what is the context of this song? So it is a picture of a king, most likely King David, who is returning to the city Jerusalem, not only to proclaim victory in battle, but to lead the people in a procession to the temple in order to give thanks to God and offer a sacrifice. Verses 1 through 4 describe the call to worship. Given by the returning king. He says, all who fear God are called to give thanks and to do so by recalling his love and faithfulness. And as the king approaches the city, he is calling out to the people, come, give thanks with me, for he is good. His love endures forever. And so we might ask, why? Why is the king calling the people to give thanks? In verses 5 through 14, the king tells us why he is giving thanks and why all the people should give thanks. These verses begin to describe the victory from which the king is coming. He describes the situation, how he was surrounded on all sides, but with the assistance of the Lord, he was able to defeat his enemies and cut them off. The king knows that the victory is from the Lord, which leads him to say that trusting in men and earthly rulers is useless in comparison to the strength and might that is found in God. In verse 14, he says, the Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. In verses 15 through 21, we again see the danger in which the king found himself. But whereas the previous verses describe the external dangers and the enemies around him, these verses seem to be more focused on the internal turmoil and struggle. There was a torment of his soul, and he was on the brink of death. But because of the Lord's sustaining and merciful hand, he was restored to life. Beginning in verse 19, the king arrives at Jerusalem, leading the procession, and he calls upon the gatekeepers to open the gates so that he might enter and give thanks to the Lord. He praises God for saving him, for delivering him, and not only him, but the nation Israel. And as the king enters and proceeds to the temple to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, verses 20 through to 27 describe the response of the people who are gathered there. So it shifts from the king speaking to the people. Notice the shift of language to our and us and we from the previous my, me, and I. The verses portray the people's involvement in this procession. And they rejoice and are glad together. They are acknowledging that God has the victory on this day. It is not won by their efforts. It was the Lord who made it what it is. In the following verse, the people pray for continuing success. They recognize in verse 26 that blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. The king is the one upon whom divine protection and blessing rest. It is because when God blesses the king, the people are blessed. If God curses the king, the people are cursed as well. And so if God has given the king victory, it means that the people are safe as well. Verse 27 is the culmination of the procession as they wave their palm branches, join together around the altar to offer their sacrifice. And as the sacrifice is made, the text shifts back to the voice of the king, but the people too are participating in the process. As the king says, you are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Well, that is the short overview and context of Psalm 118 today. Now we'll hear today's message from Ruth.
Thank you for the... Thank you for the great summary of Psalm 118. Do you know that Psalm 117, the chapter before the Psalm 118, was the shortest psalm in the book of Psalm? And 119 is the longest psalm in the book of Psalm. So this chapter we're going to study is in the middle. Now we have a good picture of how King entered the gate and praise God for what he has done for his people. Now, I would like to ask you to take a moment, put ourselves in the place of a king as he returned home, shouting for joy, the reason for the thanks. If you were in his place, what will you give thanks to God? And what will you shout for joy? I would also like you to take just 1 minute to have a silent prayer, to think about what God has done for us this past year. Or you can pray for the people you care about for 1 minute, and Kevin will play the music. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your leading and provision this past year. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus, who was rejected and despised. Yet, you took that which was rejected by us and made the cornerstone of faith, the cornerstone by which men are made righteous and can enter the gates of salvation. You have done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes and save us. Let us rejoice and be glad in your goodness and love that never fails. We give thanks to you this day and every day for who you are. Have mercy on me and bless this message. Thank you for this opportunity to speak for your words. Please bless us with your spirit and presence. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Part one, give thanks to the Lord. Happy Thanksgiving. This month, all people across the country celebrate the Thanksgiving in America and in Canada. As we celebrate Thanksgiving, we eat, not only eat the turkey, we also think about why we give thanks. Usually when we receive something from someone, we responded with a thank you. People say thank you for less. Some people say thank you for that. Thankfulness is not just about the things that we receive, but actually it's someone who gives us the love and shows us the love. Does that make sense? For example, I can say I'm thankful for my job, but my job doesn't thank me back. What I'm actually saying is I'm thankful for my boss who gave me the job. Likewise, when we look around us, actually God gives us everything. So everything we have come from God, and we ought to give thanks to God in that sense. So we thank God who gives us life and health and all things that we need. He is the only one who truly deserves our thanks. It is his goodness and his love that we have less life and all the good things that come with them. Next slide, please. God is calling everyone to give thanks, first of all, because God is good. When God created the world, he said it was very good after his creation for 6 days. Do you remember that? James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. God is always good. He never does anything bad. Regardless of how bad a situation you are, or how bad people treat you, we can always rely on God, who is good. We all have our own opinions about things and the emotion. We may not understand why things are the way they are, but we must never forget that God is working all things for our good, even when the situation may not seem that way. We also give thanks because God's love endures forever. Kids, would you like to recite that? God's love endures forever. Amen. The word here translated as love is a Hebrew word, hesed. This word cannot really be translated in English as it implies many meanings. So you can see at the King James Version, it was translated as a mercy. And in the message passage, it was translated as the love never die, never quit. It could be a covenant love. It can be a steadfast love, a love that will not let go, loyal love, and so on. All of these translations are all correct. It is because the origin of this word has so many meanings into it. Now, let's think about our translation, love that endures forever, as we use the NIV version. Since we have some kids here, I want to ask you, what kind of things do you think it lasts forever? How do you think about it? Maybe parents' love for you forever? Good? Okay. But in the Bible, God's love is compared to things we can't imagine ever disappearing. Like the ocean or the mountain. Yeah, God's love is higher than the mountain and deeper than the ocean we can imagine. That's why the Bible says God's love endures forever. God's love never ends. This is why the king is shouting to the people, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. He also calling for everyone to give thanks to the Lord. Verse 3 say, let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. It's both the beginning statement of the Psalm 118, but also at the end, verse 29, as Russell mentioned. How did the king come to this conclusion? Give thanks to the Lord. Did he just wake up one day in the morning and suddenly he come up with the conclusion? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Or this is something he learned from his experience over time and came to this understanding. Let's look at the part two. Hard praise, verse 5 to 19. Indeed, the king, the psalmist, came to learn thankfulness as he experienced God's love. In verses 5 to 14, he explained to us just how he came to his conclusion. Verse 5 say, when hard praise, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. One of the reasons I choose this chapter was because verses like this remind me about the pandemic. Many people are hard-pressed nowadays. Some people are sick, hospitalized at the ICU. Some people are depressed, overwhelmed with anxiety. As Stephen mentioned, his cousin just passed away last night. And this past week, two people I know for 13 years, one died suddenly last Thursday, and one had a stroke for the second time. And my colleague's dad passed away last Sunday as well. There are so many things, so many deaths. We feel like we were hard-pressed, like a bee around us. We tried to run away, but we couldn't get out. And it stink us, and make it painful to us. Like the song you say, we had to thank God who bring us into a spacious place when we cry out to God. The key is to cry out to God, not to depend on our own strength. We thank God who is with us. When we turn to him and cry to him, he answers us, and he will bring us to a spacious place. So how do you react when you are hard-pressed? I have an example. Can you tell me what's this? It's a water bottle, right? So what happens if I squeeze the water bottle? What will come out?
Water.
Correct. Now, this is a yogurt. So what happens if I squeeze the yogurt? That's right. So that's the theory. What's inside us? That's the things that will come out when we will press. So if we store anger and the hatred, when we feel pressed, we'll respond with the anger and hatred. That's why very important we need to store with the joy and thanksgiving. So when we experience a hardship, we are hard pressed, we can respond with the thanksgiving, with the right attitude toward God. Okay. There are many things in life that can press on us. I think the biggest one is other people. Verses 6 to 9 say, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortal do to me? He is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. The psalmist asks, what can people do to me? Well, the honest answer is a lot, right? Others can oppress us. They can intimidate us. They can scare us. They can threaten us. Or they can even kill us. The psalmist learned through his trial that trust in the Lord what is best. When we put our trust in others, we become dependent on their approval and can be easily crushed by their criticism. This year, when I studied emotional health, healthy relationship led by Pastor Greg and Steve, I learned to say no to others for the sake of my spiritual integrity. What others think is not as important as what God thinks. Therefore, for our own sake, we need to know when to say no and be honest about our emotion. When we take a refuge in something or someone, we are trusting them to take care of us or at least make us feel safe or secure. Yeah, when we take a refuge in God, we are offering that trust to God instead of a human. In 1996, I lost my job at the United Way. At that time, I didn't know what God was doing in my life. Even though but I believe God calling me to stay in Toledo. At that time, my parents asked me to move to the big city or go to Taiwan since I already completed my first master's degree. But I decided to stay in USA, in Toledo. When I returned from Taiwan visiting my parents, God blessed me to marry with a talented husband, Russell Kelly. And later, I worked at the CPA firm for a few, 5 or 6 years. If I trust my parents, not saying that they don't love me, but actually love me very much. Yeah, if I put my trust in humans, I won't be here to give the message today. And I won't even have married with Russell that we celebrate 23 years of marriage last week. So thank God. The psalmist is reminding us that even though evil people do even evil things, in the end, they cannot ultimately harm us because our life are preserved by God. His love for us endures forever. Therefore, we can find reason to rejoice even in struggles because it is through the struggles that we come to learn God is good and his love endures forever. Two of my favorite verses is Lamentation chapter 3, verse 32 and 33. You say, though he bring grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. God's love endure forever. God doesn't intend to bring us any grief. Eventually, God delivers us. Verse 15 says, shout of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The psalmist acknowledges God is his strength and defense. He acknowledges the Lord's right hand is lifted high and has done mighty things. He believes he will not die but live. And God will open the gates of a righteous for him. God delivers us. He has chastened us severely, but he has not given us over to death. Because of his love, we can be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Through the praising, we are remade in his image. We come to realize the Lord is on our side. He is there to help us in our time of need. We know it's better to take refuge in him than to trust in others. We realize that the Lord is our strength and shield. Even if this body passes away, it is not the end. Our life is preserved in God's hand. Now, I agree with the Apostle Paul saying in Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? I want to conclude part two with the words of Corrie ten Boom. Corrie was a prisoner in a Jewish concentration camp. She experienced all the suffering in the concentration camp, but she find reason to thanks. She say, if you look at the war, you will be distressed. If you look within, you will be distressed. But if you look at Christ, you will be at ease. How true it is. When we look at Christ, we find peace and ease in him. We just need to take time to look at him instead of look at our surrounding and people around us. Part three, his love endures forever, verse 19 to 29. As we come to verse 19 and 20, the king, this usually referred to King David, has arrived at Jerusalem. He called for the gates to be open so that he enter in and give thanks at the temple. It is interesting that he's not yet at the place of worship and already he's giving thanks. Several other psalms also echo the same sentiment. Psalm 100, verse 4 say, enter his gates with the thanksgiving and his courts with praise. It tells us that even before we get to the church for worship, we should prepare our hearts for thanksgiving. We don't need to wait for the worship and praise so that we can receive a thanksgiving. We need to prepare ahead of time before we come. Verse 21 says, I will give you thanks, for you answer me. You have become my salvation. The psalmist acknowledges God's saving grace in his life. There are many things in life we can be thankful for, but the greatest thing is God's saving grace. Don't you agree? Amen. Let's reflect how God has saved us once we were sinners. And how can we have the same overwhelming thankfulness toward him now than before? We may not have everything in the whole world, but we are safe and are alive right now at this place. That is why it matters. Let's look at verse 22 and 23. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. To the Jewish people, the stone was the actual stone of the temple. It also symbolized the Jewish nation. As a nation, they had been cast aside. No one thought they would amount to anything. They were just a bunch of slaves. But God took them and made something marvelous out of them. But this is only the beginning of their salvation. God has something even better than this in mind. Jesus later quoted this verse, proclaiming himself as the cornerstone of righteousness, by which all men might be saved. Jesus was the stone that builder rejected. Jesus was not welcomed by his hometown people. He was disowned by his disciples, and then they ran away. The Jews and the religious leaders shouted, "Crucify him." Jesus was crucified on the cross for all our sins. He was the stone the builder rejected. Yeah, God raised him on the third day and placed him on the right hand of the God. God has a power to raise the dead. Sometimes we don't always see the light at the end of the tunnel. For example, during this pandemic, we wish it go away. But we don't know when God will finish it, end this. But we need to believe God has power to raise the dead. So he has power to end this disease. We need to put our trust in him and wait for his deliverance. Because God's love endures forever. He is always there for us, and he will wait for us till the end. He has taken people like us, broken and rejected, to become the cornerstone and become a kingdom of priests and holy nation. In verses 28 and 29, as the sacrifice was placed on the altar, the psalmist together with his people declared, "You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." We can choose to remain miserable. We can complain about the governor. We can complain about others from our province. On the other hand, we can also choose to be thankful and trust God and find refuge in him. May God help us acknowledge his saving grace daily and always give thanks to God, no matter what. May God help you find trust in him, surrounded you with his loving people, help you in your time of needs, deliver you in his time, and fill your heart with the thanksgiving for all he has done. His love endures forever. Let's read the key verse again. Give thanks to the Lord. He's good. His love endures forever. Let me pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for you are good. Your love endures forever, despite of our brokenness, our doubt and unthankfulness. You are there for us. You are with us by our side. Help us listen your voice and trust, put our trust in you. Help us have a hope in your deliverance so we can find ease in you alone. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this Thanksgiving week. Please grant each one of us rest in Christ and help us cherish the time we have with our close family members, friends, and help us not to forget to reach out those who they are in need in this time of suffering. Today, I thank you, Lord. I also thank God for Caleb, my son, who come to the worship service. Please be with him and bless his walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for this time, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.